And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, everywhere I look, it appears, in fact, doesn't just appear, it is, we are being bolted down into a prison. It's the Matrix. Now, you know, I've seen the Matrix, the movie, and I know all the hokey stuff in it. I'm talking about what's real. Everywhere you turn, they're using high technology. They're using our government against us. And we are set into a high-tech, open-air prison. That's what it is, folks. They've got a no-fly list. They've got all kind of laws they're pushing now. I mean, it's not enough what they've done, but they are with the National Defense Authorization Act. I mean, they can haul you away at any time, take you to prison with no protection from the Constitution. Now, today, I want to talk about this matrix that we're all in. You may not realize, you may go to work every day and say, well, things haven't changed for me. You just don't know about all the things that are going on all around you. There's billions of dollars being spent by them to set up an open air prison throughout America. It is a matrix. We're involved in it. We're part of it. We need to bust out of this horrible matrix. I mean, if you compare the way things were when I was a young man to the way they are now, it is absolutely horrible what is going on. And they're all the time extending their handcuffs and taking us all into we're being incarcerated into this matrix. Now, one of the most important aspects of the matrix is gun control. Gun control. You know, every tyrant seeks to take away the guns. I mean, the Soviet Union, other places, they wish to take away your guns. Why in America we have more guns than anybody can imagine? But they know who has them. They know that they don't have to worry about blacks and others. They do worry about you and me and us having guns, especially you who are veterans out there. They don't want you to have guns. When they come to take away you and your family, they don't want to get a bullet to the head. Let's face it. And they're going to come and take you away. I know I'm being dramatic, but it's time for that now that we learn how to bust out of the incredible matrix that's been built for us. Now, have a guest today, Mark Anderson, a good friend of mine. He's with American Free Press out of Washington, D.C. He's very cognizant of these things. He's very aware. And he's really been researching recently the United Nations Arms Treaty. Now, you know about the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. But, you know, maybe they want to get around it. Maybe they want something to sort of umbrella over it. I'm going to ask Mark about that. What are we going to do? Because they just passed the United Nations Arms Treaty. And Mark has been in New York. He's been studying it. He knows firsthand exactly what's going on. Mark Anderson, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Thanks, Tex. It's great to be on with you.
Well, you know what I said is true, that they're building an open-air prison all around us. But part of it is the drive to grab our guns. And they're doing everything they can. They want to pass legislation. But if they can get this United Nations Arms Treaty passed, first of all, what is exactly the United Nations Arms Treaty?
Well, it's technically known as the Arms Trade Treaty, and they got their pants caught on a nail last July 2012 trying to nail this down. So they called the March 18 through 28 Arms Trade Treaty Conference the, quote, final, end quote, conference. Mm. They were very determined, and in fact, they more or less did make this the final negotiation conference with all these delegations from most of the countries of the world, to tweak the language, the undone work from last July, and make this thing happen. And what was really strange was that on March 28th, as I sat there watching the deliberations in person, Iran and North Korea and Syria, along with India and Russia, raised some pretty big objections. And keep in mind that I was told by a number of delegates and NGO people that they wanted pretty much, if not totally, unanimous consent on this, or it would be stalled indefinitely. And yet they did not get unanimous consent, and yet by Tuesday, April 2nd, not only did they sign off on it in terms of the negotiating conference, but they got it over to the General Assembly, and the General Assembly gave it approval already yesterday, Tuesday, April 2nd, as we speak here. So in typical UN fashion, the very rules they use to deliberate are very malleable, very stretchable and bendable, and in fact are bent if not broken. And if that's the way they're going to treat just the deliberations, one wonders how they're going to treat the treaty itself. Now, the treaty itself, the Arms Trade Treaty, is said to be the first ever treaty to regulate the international trade, a common set of rules and standards for regulating the international trade of arms. And that's everything from, quote, small weapons and light arms, end quote, small arms and light weapons, that's the exact wording, all the way up to major delivery systems like artillery and aircraft delivery systems, aircraft bombs, some kinds of mines, they say, some kinds of grenades. But what's interesting is that drone aircraft were not specifically listed, nor the Hellfire missiles that drones are famous for firing, the weaponized drones, and nor is the cancer-causing depleted uranium munitions listed, DU as it's known for short. And so there's lots of weird omissions. The rules were very, you know, were just kind of broken as they went through this thing toward the end. And in terms of individual gun rights in America and whatnot, I was told by one delegate right after another that it does not apply to domestic laws and firearms ownership rights. And on the surface, that almost seems to be true. It's just that in typical UN fashion, the treaty is written in such a way where the processes and the procedures of carrying out the treaty are not really specified. Therefore, it will be up to the whims of the participants as time goes along.
Okay, now the United Nations General Assembly has approved this thing. And as you said, it covers everything from battle tanks to armored combat vehicles, artillery systems, attack helicopters, warships, missiles, but also small arms and light weapons. So it covers basically the waterfront.
Yeah, and there's a very thin line between international transactions and trade and sale of weapons and domestic transactions and trade and sale of weapons. The line is there, but it's a thin one. And, you know, when you see the UN imagery, when you go on the grounds there, it's not something that all of us do every day. You know, there's the noted statue of a six-shooter, a revolver with the twisted barrel. That statue's been there a while. And there's another one that's a large, imposing masculine figure, a statue of a man beating a sword into a plowshare. But then you look on the side of it, it says that was a gift to the UN from the Soviet Union in 1959. Now, at that time, beating swords into plowshares in the Soviet Union meant that the KGB and Soviet state was disarming people and torturing and murdering anyone that got in their way or sending them to the gulags. So that's a rather ironic gift for the Soviet Union to give the UN in the late 50s. But the twisted barrel statue of the civilian firearm, that's just it. It signifies that the UN sees the main source of violence or the main threat to peace as a civilian six-shooter, when the real threats to peace are the massive military systems, the weapons and delivery systems that this arms trade treaty purports to govern. And naturally, the biggest exporters and the biggest kids on the block, the U.S. being the largest arms exporter in the world, they're the ones that are going to, you know, more or less rig the market and stack the deck. And so really, they're just formalizing the trade of the most deadly weapons mankind has ever known. This does not include chemical, biological, and nuclear, granted, but conventional weapons, conventional international trade of weapons that the Arms Trade Treaty covers are plenty deadly. Modern conventional weapons are extremely deadly, extremely precise, very, very accurate, and, appallingly, horrifically destructive. And so, you know, if the paperwork's in order, the participating nations under the treaty can trade with whom they want or withhold weapons from whatever nations they want. And the trade to Israel, the weapons that go to Israel to terrorize and kill the Palestinians, I was told unequivocally, are unaffected by this treaty.
Well, okay, now that's the point I'd like to bring up. But first, let's get to what is going to happen to the individual out there. They may say, well, none of this worries me. This is exporting, you know, firearms to other nations. This won't affect me. But in fact, we will have a if we pass this, if our Senate passes this United Nations treaty, we will have a responsibility to take measures to prevent these weapons. And I'm talking about everything, basically. Because they're not discussing chemical, biological weapons or drones. But let's just take the firearm, okay? Let's just take the common, you know, AR-15 and, you know, the things that Smith and Wesson and Kruger and all these people, when we go to our local gun store, it seems to me they can say, well, these companies, Smith and Wesson and others, are exporting these guns, and they're being used, and who can doubt it, they're being used by terrorists, by organized crime, to undermine peace and security. So we're just going to outlaw it. So from now on, there can be no weapons, no ammunition, manufactured in the United States because it's all being used, you know, shipped overseas for terrorist activities. So this seems to be an underhanded way of basically outlawing our Second Amendment with a United Nations treaty.
Yeah, underhanded is a good word, Tex, and because the treaty does not explicitly spell out things like, you know, UN troops are going to come in and take your guns, and, you know, there's nothing explicit like that. In typical UN fashion, again, the language is left up to interpretation, and it's vague, and it's malleable and moldable to whatever whims are needed at any given time. And what you said is one possible scenario that U.S. manufactured weapons that by hook or crook or by direct or indirect means find their way into what the U.N. considers the wrong hands. You know, they turn up in Iran or they turn up in some other state that the Western powers define as a rogue state. Then you might see those U.S. manufacturers penalized or there might be certain prohibitions on the kinds of weapons they're allowed to make or who they're allowed to sell them to. And another gun rights activist who was at the Arms Trade Treaty Conference in latter March here told me that another scenario is that while a lot of the guns in American gun stores are made in the U.S., there's, you know, probably 3 million or so guns a year coming in from foreign sources, imports. Mm. That's an approximate figure. Don't necessarily take that as gospel. But if the guns being imported into the U.S. that supplement the U.S.-made guns in gun stores, if another nation who's a party to the Arms Trade Treaty could make an allegation that those imported guns into the U.S., that some of those are finding their way to some criminal element or drug cartels or some undesirables, then the overall weapon supply perhaps could be affected because then maybe certain imports would be banned from the United States because it could be claimed that rather than being used for normal uses, they're being diverted into the quote-unquote wrong hands. So, you know, this thing creates a lot of unknowns, a lot of possible scenarios, but that's the way the UN operates. It sets up these vague, open-to-interpretation kind of agreements that then can be manipulated by, you know, those that are most influential in the process. And so, and that's besides the point that the UN itself is an extra governmental entity. In other words, the United States really, under the Constitution, really didn't have the authority to transfer some sort of recognition or lawful government processes over to the UN. Mm-hmm. The UN's basically, by most accounts, unlawful, just like the Constitution doesn't authorize the U.S. government to transfer its trade and commercial authority over to the World Trade Organization, which is a branch of the U.N., the U.S. really had no clear legal permission to transfer, or delegate some of the decision-making authority to the United Nations. People say, well, the U.N. is just a big Starbucks where people have a latte and discuss things. All it is a big town hall meeting. that would be true, except for look at the Security Council. The Security Council authorizes outright destruction. They authorized the initial attack against Iraq after Iraq reportedly invaded Kuwait in the early 1990s. And if memory serves, the Security Council played a role in the destruction of Libya just a couple of years ago. So if the UN were just a debating society, you wouldn't have the UN Security Council authorizing massive military strikes without any U.S. constitutional involvement in that at all. So really, even if the UN wrote the greatest treaties in the world and everything was peace, love, and brotherhood, the U.S. really had no legal or lawful right to transfer war-making authority to the UN when the United Nations was created. So from that, you could argue that really everything the UN does is basically illegitimate.
Yeah, you know, both President George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior president, and George W. Bush, the junior, both of them used the United Nations authority to go to war. They didn't say we're asking for a declaration of war from our Congress. They just said, well, the United Nations has voted on it, the Security Council, and given us the authority to prosecute a war. And, well, we had at least 500,000 dead that have died in Iraq now, including, you know, up to 5,000 Americans. Now, here's one of the things that I would like to ask you, Mark. It says that this treaty prohibits countries from exporting conventional weapons if they promote acts of genocide, crimes against humanity, or war crimes, or if the weapons could be used in attacks against civilians, well, we're all civilians, or schools and hospitals. Let's go to the first part of that. Is it not true that we're the number one arms merchant, except that we don't sell them to Israel. We give them away to Israel. How many billions of dollars have we given to Israel? And are they not one of the prosecutors of genocide against the Palestinians? I mean, they're the number one rogue state in the whole world today. You know, the whole Middle East is erupt in flames because of the United States and Israel. And their grandiose schemes. So it seems that every bottle rocket, every gun, every tank, every ship that we give to Israel promotes acts of genocide and crimes against humanity. But that's not going to stop with this treaty, is it?
No, everyone I talked to said that Israel gets get out of jail free card. They get a mulligan, as they say in golf.
Oh.
And I talked to one Swiss delegate who assured me, I assume he was being true to me, that Switzerland for one does not sell Israel even one bullet, nothing. And I wish we would see more of that. But yes, the claims that this is a treaty that would help with humanitarian needs, that would help reduce and prevent genocide. All of that is put to a lie under just the one nation alone, and that's the rogue state of them all, as you say, Israel, which has proven that rogue state status really in an unbeatable or unimpeachable way, especially in the last couple of years. The attacks against Gaza have just been frightening. And so if this thing was really about not letting nations get weapons that conduct genocide, then automatically the treaty would cut off all this weaponry to Israel, and whatever conventional weapons it needs, it would have to make for itself from raw material to final product, and it would be its own expense and its own labor. But no, they're going to get F-14s and F-16s from the U.S. because somebody lobs a shoulder-launched missile at them once in a while that a spit wad against the side of a battleship compared to what right. Israel lobs at them. It's laughable that the mainstream press acts like it's some sort of, standoff. It's no contest at all. And so, yeah, that really shows that the treaty is largely a sham, just that one instance alone.
Now, on this arms treaty, first of all, the United Nations has promulgated it. It's a fact. Now the nations are going to be approving or disapproving it. It looks like most of them will. Now, it's got to go before the Senate, according to our Constitution, if I can remember correct, two-thirds of the Senate have to approve it.
That's right.
But I suspect that they really will not bring it before the Senate because they know they can't get two-thirds to approve it. Is that your thought on it? How do you feel about that?
I think if they took it before the Senate right now, I think that you're right, that they would not succeed. What's going to come out in American Free Press, as listeners are hear this, are hearing this, it's probably out now in our double edition, number 14/15 for 2013. I do the Congress page every week. That's my normal weekly job, is to monitor Congress. And this Senator James Inhofe, the Republican out of Oklahoma, is saying on CNN recently that he'll filibuster any new firearms legislation.
Wow.
That has to do with the proposed assault weapons ban. But then he was recently one of seven co-sponsors of Senate Amendment 139, which amended Senate Concurrent Resolution 8 against the U.N. Arms Trade Treaty.
Good for him.
According to the Library of Congress, the basic thrust of Amendment 139 is, quote, to uphold Second Amendment rights and prevent the U.S. from entering into the United Nations Arms Trade Treaty, end quote. That amendment passed 53-46 in the Senate on March 23rd, 2013.
So what are they going to?
Reassuring.
Now, Senator John Kerry, Secretary of State, he's talking about what a great, you know, wonderful situation this is going to be for us with this treaty. But even if it's not approved right now, currently by our Senate, by two-thirds vote approving, this treaty. I wonder if the Obama administration is just going to say, well, we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. We're going to go ahead and live by the dictates of this treaty, whether it's been approved by the Senate or not. It's going to be another one of these, dictator-type things by the president.
I've heard that concern raised, including by Jeff Smith, who's an AFP associate in the Northeast, the possibility of a executive order or more likely a presidential decision directive. It's hard to say, that's speculation at this point, but I would say that patriots out there need to be very watchful of that, and they also need to be watchful of the fact that ammunition is included in the arms trade treaty. And what I always say, and I'm not the only one saying this, but I say it a lot, is that the real civilian disarmament is going to come through ammunition control. You can control all the guns in the world. It's probably going to end up being an easier thing to control the ammo supply and the ammo commerce. And a gun without ammo is like a turkey platter without a turkey on it. It's not very complete, pretty useless. And so that's what we really have to watch, is ammo control. Now, what Senator Inhofe is saying is somewhat reassuring, but yeah, we need to watch for executive actions that bypass the Senate. Nevertheless, though, I think that right now they wouldn't get it through the Senate, and the delegates are saying that at least 50 countries, 50, need to ratify the Arms Trade Treaty before it would go into force. And again, so many of the provisions, so many of the specifics are not in the treaty, so how they would actually conduct themselves under it is anybody's guess. But when you have an extra-governmental illegitimate entity like the UN that's not just a town hall meeting, it's not just a debating society, because they've prosecuted war many times, as we've said here through the Security Council, when you have that kind of body, you know, what we really need to educate our fellow Americans on is just the basic illegitimacy of the UN. It doesn't matter whether their treaties are good or bad. They're just not a legitimate forum. They're unlawful under the framework of the Constitution because, again, or moreover, I should say, they try to make treaty law superior to the Constitution. Well, whatever treaties the U.S. is under or is obligated to, that supersedes the Constitution. I don't think the framers had that in mind, and I think that's something that, even if it is somewhat true, I think that's something we need to change, but I don't believe it's true. I think treaty law is subordinate. So
I think you're absolutely right. And so we need to keep that in mind, that these treaties do not override the Bill of Rights of the Constitution, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if certain treaties could be interpreted to do so, that's all the more reason not to be entering into them. And one thing I have not determined yet is what kind of escape clauses might be in the Arms Trade Treaty. options for participating nations to opt out if they get into this and they go, wait a minute, no one ever said anything about this, that, and the other thing. We don't like this situation. We want out. So I would hope it would have some escape hatches for any nations that feel it's a bad deal. And it's interesting that it took countries like Iran, North Korea, Syria, and India to complain about it and spoil the much-hoped-for unanimous consensus that we were told was going to be required. And yet, as I said at the beginning, once they did not get unanimous consensus, they pushed this thing over to the General Assembly anyway, just as fast as they possibly could. So they just rammed it through, regardless of the dissent. But, you know, Syria specifically mentioned Israel's abuses, and the Iranian delegation, I talked to those guys before they went into the final vote, and, you know, they were quite a bunch. They were very, very friendly, and they seemed to be very sincere in their concerns. You know, it's tragic that people think of Iran, so many Americans, as this intractable foe of America. You know, I just don't think it's true. These guys were wonderful gentlemen, and they genuinely don't want war. You know, that's the bottom line.
Well, of course, you know, because they're the ones that are facing the big bad superpower of the whole world, the United States. Why would they want nuclear weapons? I mean, you know, Netanyahu's been the... If you read the Israeli press over the last 10 years, every couple of months, Iran is supposed to come up with a nuclear bomb. You know, you go back to 2002. You know, I remember reading an article that said within a few months Iran will have the bomb. You know, so your head's going spinning around because Netanyahu is warning everybody. But why would they have the bomb? I mean, it's a crazy thing. They know they can't get away with it, so they just put it aside. And all 16 U.S. intelligence agencies, including the CIA, say they do not have it. And then the next week you'll see something in the Israeli press that says, oh, they're within, you know, a moment's grasp of having this horrible nuclear weapon. You know, the Hitler of the Middle East, Ahmadinejad, he's right at your doorstep, America. So it's a bunch of hooey and malarkey. But, well, listen, Mark, I want to thank you so much for giving us a report on this and letting us know what happened at the United Nations. And I hope you'll come back again and give us a progress report.
Oh, absolutely. I would just advise listeners to be very vigilant about ammunition control, about whether they'll try and circumvent Senate ratification. Call your senators now, 202-224-3121 or 225-3121. Call them now. Give them a lot of heat right now about it. That's the thing. And we'll all look forward to the AFP Power of Prophecy Conference in November. I believe it's Veterans Day weekend, November 2013 in Austin, Texas. So we'll talk more about it then. I'm sure there'll be an update at that time.
Oh, yes, we're going to have a great conference, no doubt about it. I hope you're going to be one of the speakers. If you're not, at least come down and grace us with your presence, you and your precious wife, Angie, would you?
Very good. Yeah, I'll plan on talking about maybe even this topic. We'll see. But thanks
that
for having
good.
Me on, Tex.
Okay, great, Mark. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Sure, God bless you too. Bye.
All right, that was Mark Anderson of American Free Press. I tell you, Mark really gets around Jerry. He really knows his stuff. He's a, you know, he did a great job at the last conference we had. People know about him. So, listen up, folks, because things are going very fast all over the world. And this United Nations Arms Treaty is just one small element of the matrix that has been built and is being built. I want to talk about that some more when we come back on the other half of the program, this matrix that has been built. And we need to bust out of the matrix. How can we possibly? I mean, Big Brother has got so many tools to use against us. But I think there's some ways we can come back at them. And we're going to learn about them when we come back, okay? You're listening to Tex Mars and Power Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, I just wrote a new book. It's going to be out May the 1st. You can order it now by going to our website. It's called Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. It's about robots. Now, you may say, well, I'm not interested in robots. You know, the big, clunky, mechanical things you see on TV. No, we're talking about different kinds of robots here. You see, Big Brother is having a hard time getting human beings, that's your next-door neighbor, to go along with his plan. They're not so sure that every military man, everyone in United States uniform, every policeman is going to go along with them. I mean, I'll tell you, there are a lot of great Americans out there in police uniform. There are a lot of great Americans wearing, you know, the uniform of one of our armed services. And these people are not going to go along. They're not going to go confiscate your guns. They've got to find a way to attack us, to build a system that they don't need all these people. Now, one way is to bring in foreigners. They will bring in foreigners into the United States. That's one of the reasons why we're being inundated with millions of illegal aliens. They're not just here for jobs. Many of these people have been brought into the governmental system. I mean, you check out the Transportation Safety Agency. Yeah, it's for safety, all right. This is, you know, thousands of human beings, most of them illegal immigrants, are minorities, and they're willing to go along with the government and take away your guns, take away your property and your money. So, but more than that, they have robots. Yes, robots being built, drones. And there are hunter-killer robots being developed now, and they're spending tens of billions of dollars for them. And Ray Kurzweil, one of the top experts in America, he's now at Google. He's head of the research and development at Google Corporation. Ray Kurzweil says that the age of singularity is almost here. What is the age of singularity? That is at the point when robots, yes, robots are smarter and more capable than human beings. And I'll tell you, a lot of the human beings I've seen today, it's not going to be long. I mean, they're already being surpassed by robots. It's not just in the job market, although an incredible upheaval is fixing to occur. I mean, people are going to be let out of factories and refineries, and they're going to be out on the streets. People with bachelor's degree, master's, doctorate degrees, unable to get work because they're going to be replaced by robots. You say, well, they can't do that to my job. You wait and see. You wait and see. Because in anywhere from 20 to 25 years from now, robots will be smarter than you and me. And they'll do whatever they're programmed to do. What are they going to be programmed to do? Kill you and your family. You say, Tex, you're talking about Terminator type stuff. You're far out now. You've reached some age of, you know, senility. No, I haven't reached anything. Wait till you get my book. It'll be the most astonishing book you've ever seen in your life. It has hundreds of mostly color pictures. It will show you the state of robotics today, both industrial and personal robots. I say personal, I'm talking about a human being. They're going to reach a stage within a couple of decades, not very far away, when the robot will be able to handle about 90% of human jobs. And more than that, they'll be doing all the fighting. They've got the drones, but they also have Alpha Dog. It's tons of steel. It can hike, it can walk, it can run up to 20 miles. Can you go that far without stopping? Will Alpha Dog catch you? That's a robot. There's Cheetah. It runs three times as fast as a human being. It's called Cheetah for a reason. The Army's got it now. Japan has developed Titan Boa. It's a 50 feet long snake, a robotic snake. How would you like to be chased by a 50 feet long Titan boa snake, a robot? Now, you're going to see pictures of all of these robotic projects. And I'm telling you, they're ready to be unleashed against you. This is something that we've never experienced before. Billions of dollars have secretly been spent on projects to robotize the armed forces of the United States. Yeah, folks, you've seen movies like this. This is incredible. Now they've got it. They're going to unleash it on us. Well, the name of the book is Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. What is alchemy? It's magic. It's witchcraft. In a sense, those who are creating these robots are creating our masters. Now, the robots are not just going to suddenly all decide that they want to conquer mankind. That's science fiction. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about the way they are being programmed. They're being programmed to be killers. I mean, robots are whatever they're programmed to be. I know Isaac Asimov, the great science fiction writer, gave us the three laws of robotics. The three laws of robotics say basically that the robot will tend to you, will care for you. You think that you're just going to be sitting around, lazing around on your couch while the robot brings you things. He makes things for you. What a paradise. No, no, it's going to be hell on earth as these robots terrorize human beings, as they search for you and me. And as our rights as human beings and our freedoms and our liberties are taken away by robotics. You're going to go to the airport, but the Transportation Safety Agency won't be there anymore to search you. It'll be a machine. Walk through this machine, the voice will say. And if you have a record or you've done something wrong or you're writing letters that they don't like, they're going to have everything documented. When you walk into their chamber, their machine chamber, they're going to say, well, take this person away. And the guards are going to come and take you away and you'll never be heard from. I'm telling you, they don't give a flip for our Bill of Rights. They are now continuously, progressively building up a police state in America. It will be a wonder. What a police state wonder. All the scientists are involved in this. They're all helping Big Brother government. I mean, it's a feather in their cap. Roboticists from across the world are working on these projects. Wait till you see scientists in Brazil, in Japan, in Argentina even, in Great Britain, in Germany, and of course in the United States are building robotic instruments of death. Everybody's upset about the drones, and they should be. They're talking about sitting out on the deck of Starbucks on a nice summer day and a drone coming over, sending down a missile and just blowing you to smithereens. Well, they wouldn't do that to me. I'm an American. No, they would do that to you. They don't care what nationality you are. There are no nationalities to these monsters. Anyway, it's my book. You say, well, Tex, what qualifies you to write a book about robotics? Well, you'll have to get out the book and see it. You'll have to see my credentials. But let's just say that I'm one of the world's top authorities on these things. And I've been studying this now for, well, 35, 40 years, it seems like. In fact, I actually wrote the first book on personal robots. The personal robot book. It was a main selection of the computer and electronic book clubs. I wrote a book called The Great Robot Book. I wrote a book on careers with robots. You'll see all of that in the book, Robot Alchemy. The book is $35. It's another big production by Tex Mars. It's a big book, very heavy. I put everything in it. Now, I've left a little bit to your imagination in this book. I didn't tell you exactly what was going to happen. I think you are smart enough to know that for yourself. I conjectured in this book. Let's just put it that way. But when you're talking about 15, 20, 25 years, that's not very long. That's not very long away at all. And then all these questions we have about immigration reform, about wars in the Middle, everything is going to be resolved. The Mexicans won't be coming across the border anymore. We'll have plenty of robots to do all the jobs in the United States. Think about that. Immigration won't be a problem 25 years from today. Robots will be the problem. How men have programmed robots to be evil. That will be our number one preoccupation. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. I want to give you our address, of course. To get the book Robot Alchemy, you can order it early and we'll ship it out to you. We'll probably be shipping the last days of April. We'll get it out to everybody as soon as we can. But you'll get it first if your name's on our list. Robot Alchemy. It's $35. Well, let's just say $30. Yes, well, $30 for the folks, though. It's $35 retail. But we're going to sell it for $30 in the ministry. Okay, that's what we're going to do. So if you get it, go down to Barnes & Noble, you'll have to pay $35. But if you buy it from us, we'll give it to you for $30. I want you to have, you got to have this book to tell you what your future is going to be like. By the way, many people will be having, I mean, dare I say it, but they'll even be having sex with robots. They'll look exactly like you. They already do. You won't believe what robots, androids, cyborgs look like. You just wait and see on this book. It'll be an amazing story. Well, in any case, $30, that's postage added to that, $5 shipping and handling. Total of $35, $30 for the book, $5 for shipping and handling for Robot Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y. By the way, the book in chapter 1 explains the term alchemy or witchcraft to you and explains why I call this book Robot Alchemy. Our address here at Power of Prophecy is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can go to powerofprophecy.com, get on our homepage. You'll see a picture of the book. You can order right there at powerofprophecy.com. You can phone us during the work week, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. So in just a few weeks, this book will be out. We'll send it to you toward the end of April, the 1st of May, and you'll be the first to get your copy of Robot Alchemy, Robot Alchemy. I pray that you do because I want you to know what's coming ahead, this prison system that's being built for us and how they're going to go about destroying the last vestiges of freedom in America. With robots, of all things. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about how to defeat the New World Order. You know, I read constantly on the internet. You know, the internet is a wonderful a tool, and I found about 90% of it is pure malarkey, but 10% of it is wisdom. Now, one of the wise areas that I've seen is a website called thecommonsenseshow.com. Thecommonsenseshow.com. Dave Hodges has a radio show by that name, and well, the guy's pretty smart. And he has a article on there that I really appreciate. It's about 7 or 8 pages long. So I'm going to just borrow a little bit from Dave. I could make up my own things about how to defeat the New World Order. But hey, Dave Hodges has done a good job here of giving us a list. And I want to go over it with you, some of the items on it. Remember, we're not going to be able perhaps to fight this and confront it face to face. Now, you know, there are people out there saying, get your gun and go down and shoot somebody. No, no, no. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that. We're in a system that we've got to figure how to defeat and do it right, but stay within our Constitution. Stay within God's laws. If you can do that, if you can stay within the Constitution of the United States, if you can not violate what God told us to do, then we can move. We can move mountains, folks. But if you go violating God's laws, and certainly the Bill of Rights of our Constitution, I mean, if you violate those, well, all is going to be lost because we're going to be criminals just like them. We don't want to do that. We want to be smart. We want to be wise about what we do. So we know that society doesn't always agree with us. Political incorrectness is in, but we can still defeat this. We can educate people. More and more people are coming over to our side. I cannot believe the number of people here in Austin as I go out know about the New World Order. I mean, I talk to people, do you know about 9/11? Who really did it? Yeah, it was, you know, rogue, you know, agencies. It was not, you know, 19 Arabs. Well, they're right. Do you know what happened with JFK? Oh, yeah. You know, 90% of the people I talk to, they know he was killed by a conspiracy. They want to get to the bottom of it. They want to prosecute and bring to justice the criminals. They just don't know how. Well, let's look over a few things. You know, Dave Hodges does a great job here. He quotes Sun Tzu, and I tell you, an old Air Force colonel friend of mine gave me a book by Sun Tzu, who thousands of years ago, I suppose in China, once said that the supremest act of war is to subdue your enemy without fighting. Think about that. If you can subdue a whole nation without fighting, well, all the good for you. First of all, the list says take your money out of the mega banks. Take your money out of the mega banks. The Chase Manhattans. Actually, it's called Chase Morgan now, or J.P. Morgan. Chase, to be more correctly. There's Wells Fargo Bank, Bank of America. All these huge mega banks. Take your money out of them. They're going to grab a good percentage of it anyway. Look what they did in the little island nation of Cyprus. It's going to be done to you. They're just going to come, you suddenly will not be able to get to your bank account. You've been saving all your life. Maybe you got $100,000 in there. They're going to say, well, we need 30% of that. They don't need it. They can print as much as they want, but they want your money. They don't want to print more. They want yours. Take your money out of the mega banks. Go to the little local banks, the community banks, the credit union, the state-owned banks. Stay away from the big boys. Second, turn off all the mainstream media. Now, if you want to listen to the Fox Network just to throw stones at them, I don't mind, I guess. But you're not going to get the straight truth from them, not at all. Control of mass media has always been the key to the liberals. It's the key to their winning your mind. I mean, even Lenin understood this with Pravda. The number one newspaper throughout the Soviet Union. What does Pravda mean in Russian? It means truth. But it was a pack of lies. You just want to turn off all the mainstream media. I mean, they're shutting down all of the newspapers one by one anyway, forcing people to go to the internet. But you don't want to go to the mainstream media. By the way, you want to throw away, you know, listen, if you're listening to Joe Farah, people like that, or what's the other one, WorldNet Daily, those people are just big Zionist freaks. They're going to tell you all the Zionist lies. You need to visit networks and websites that will tell you the truth. Go to Genesis Network. Go to Alex Jones. Go to Republic Broadcast Network. Go to Rents.com. Go to Tex Mars Show, Power of Prophecy. I'm on once a week. Don't even watch, don't watch Diane Sawyer and the, you know, all the CBS, ABC, NBC, Brian Williams. They're just shills for the New World Order. Now, a third thing to do is to get your children out of government schools if you can. I know a lot of you are limited in that, but if you can get your kids out of the government schools, if you can tutor them at home, if you can come up with neighborhood tutoring systems, homeschooling, go into that. Because they're just being propagandized by the schools. And your kids, you're turning your own kids against you. They're going to come back and say, that's not what the teacher told me. That's not what my school says. I think gays are okay. I think it's okay to be married, a man to a man or a woman to a woman. You're just old-fashioned. That's what the schools are teaching their kids now. You don't want that. If they mention Jesus in the classroom, they'll be shut up. They'll be told that they're offending somebody. Well, you bring them at home, you can mention the name of Jesus 100,000 times a day. Nobody's going to tell you what you can do. If you can, get your kids to a Christian school or homeschool them. Then you won't have to worry about transgender restrooms and all of these homosexual rules that they have. You won't have to worry about your kid, you know, making a Pop-Tart looks like a gun, you know, by chopping little pieces off. Then they suspend the guy and say, you made a gun. Or if he uses his hand and goes bang, bang, they say, oh, you violated our gun laws. Our gun rules, that is. The next thing is, if you got debts, pay them. You don't want to be beholden to a New World Order bank. You know, I mean, people are going out there buying new cars and paying up to 10 or 12% interest. That's crazy. You don't need a new car that bad. You can get along with a 5, a 10, 15-year-old car. Don't think you can't. I know a shiny new vehicle looks good, makes you feel good, but forget about that. Keep the money. Forgo the vehicle. Another thing is to service your car at the local garage. Don't use Ford or Chrysler or General Motors garages. Even if you've got a warranty on your car, you know, I mean, you still got to pay for things like oil changes and, you know, lubrication. It's they lie to you and say, now you're going to have to get all your oil change every six months. Okay, that's good. That's okay. But they've ruled now that you can have this done at any garage. It can be Joe's down at the corner. He's trying to make a living anyway, and he can't make a living because they're telling you to bring your car down to the Ford dealer and have it serviced. You don't need to have it serviced down there. Joe is just as good. All it is just, you know, opening up the can and pouring it in, taking out the old oil. Another thing is, try to stay away from the huge establishment dining places, the corporate chains that have thousands of restaurants. Go to the mom and pop place. Be better for you anyway. Now, here's a rule. Never vote for the incumbent. Well, I have to vote for either Democrat or Republican. No, you don't. Don't vote for either one of them. Wouldn't that be a message? What if the only vote they got was for the immigrants? By the way, Jay Leno, I didn't hear him, but I read it on Drudge. He mentioned the other night, you know, the Associated Press in their style book say you shouldn't say illegal alien anymore. Jay Leno said they've changed the name now. It's not illegal alien. It's undocumented Democrat. It's an undocumented Democrat. Well, he's probably right. But the Democrats, the Republicans, are corrupt. They're crooks. They're Zionist shills. And what you need to do is say no to them. But look, I'm a conservative. I'm really a good guy. Oh, shut up. Don't vote for them. Don't vote for them at all. Stay home. Well, I'm just going to be letting the Democrats win. Well, you know, that'll be one election. It'll only be one election if the Democrats win, because the blacks, the Hispanics, and the homosexuals and the feminazis, would they all vote for the Democrats? Well, I think that'll only last 2 years in the next Congress. You're going to see some Republicans saying, wow, we've made people angry. They put us out of office. Put the incumbent out of office, whether they're a Democrat or Republican. Another thing you need to do is store some food and water. We offer food to you, dry food. Buy it from us. Store it. For water, we have the Big Berkey. It costs a lot, but it's going to save you. It's going to save you anytime you have an emergency. I mean, look what happened in New Orleans. My goodness gracious. Got to have something so you can have some clean water for your home. Some food that's worth eating. Store canned food. And by the way, keep your gun handy. Make sure you have plenty of guns. While you've got the right, go buy you a gun. They say Obama's the world's biggest gun dealer. So many people are going to buy guns. Well, now Tex Mars is saying, go buy you a gun. Don't buy you a whole armament. I mean, don't buy you a tank and a whatever, armored personnel carrier. But make sure you have enough to protect your family. That's all I ask. I'm not a big gun fella, but I'm becoming one. Educate your neighbors, your family, your friends. The government is controlled by people who will do them harm. Now, they're probably couch potatoes. They're probably people that won't believe you. So what? They're going to call you a freak. They're going to call you a conspiracy nut. So what? Don't worry about what they call you, because when everything hits the fan, they're going to be calling on you saying, save us. You have guns, you have food, you have water. Help us. Educate your neighbors, your family and friends. Now, finally, well, not finally, but have an escape plan. And practice it with your family. What doors to go out of, where to go to hide, what to do, who to call, whatever. Make sure you have an escape plan. Finally, don't ever get on a bus of any kind. When they tell you your town's not safe, your city's not safe, here, get on this bus. We're going to take you somewhere where it's safe. I know you'll be dislocated, but we care for you. We're going to make sure you go to a resettlement village or town or camp. Don't get on the bus. If you get on that bus, you probably have about 2% chance of survival. Don't put your kids on that bus. You don't get on that bus. Don't do that. Don't get on the bus. You'll be taken somewhere. It'll be very bad, believe me. Okay, we're running out of time here. I wish I had more time. There are more things that Brother Dave Hodges has given us on the Common Sense Show. But you have been warned. You have been warned, friends. They're building a matrix-like open-air prison all over America. They're going to come for us. These people are not Democrats. They're not Americans. They're traitors. We have put them in office through our ignorance and by our lackadaisical attitude over the years. We have put these people in office. But now we need to get rid of them. We need to vote them out of office. And we need to do everything we can within the laws that exist to destroy the New World Order. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.